Right. And good evening, everyone. You know, it's an interesting thing about, I think Brother Carey mentioned it this morning, and I'm going to reiterate it this evening. Doing this way is really exciting until it all goes the other direction 2 seconds before you have to get online. So, and then it turns quite different, and it gets to be boom. But we do want to share the Word of God with anyone who will look and listen. And you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. We have other ways to get that out there. I can take the audio and put the audio online. And, you know, if we get both of them messed up, then guess what? Lord, give us another opportunity. We just pray next week, and we'll get that thing online next week. One of the things that we were singing was Careless Soul. And having to study that book with Amos, I kind of thought about that, you know, because it seemed like Israel was being very careless with something that they knew was real. So you get a lot of people today, and they'll debate whether the God is real. But Israel knew he was real. They'd seen the things he did. They'd seen it over and over and over and over and over and over again. See, they knew he was real, but yet they still decided that they wanted to not act on his instructions. And I began to think about that. So I wanted to start off first and foremost with two things. Hebrews 1:1, which I want to take you to why I'm talking about what I'm going to be talking about, because Hebrews 1:1 says, on many past occasions and many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. Now, we talked about that this morning. We've been talking about the prophets on Wednesday night, and we know God spoke what? Through the prophets. We had a great conversation on that, where a lot of the prophets, you know, they weren't highly educated people, because he did what? He spoke through them. He told them what to say. So, of course, they said every now and then they had to ask, you know, what am I saying? Because they didn't know. God told them what to say. So that was real. He spoke to them through the prophets. Now, Romans 15:4, it says, for everything that was written where? In the past. Going back to what? He spoke to them through the power prophet. Was in the Old Testament in the past. Written for what? Our instruction. So that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we go back to the Old Testament to make a point about something that's really important now. It took me a while to get that. It took me a while to get the whole thing and start putting it together. So that's the reason why these two scriptures are up here. So you'll know that's the reason, and that's the reason we go back. Because I'm going to start off in the scripture, Amos 4:12, is the focus of my message for two reasons. It is a letter, or maybe it's a couple of letters, or maybe a couple of letters, I don't know how long it was, to the nation of Israel, telling them how angry God was with them, as well as what he intended to do as a punishment because they would not heed the words of his return. Now, another thing that we did talk about, as we were talking about on Friday night, was what? We were talking about disciplines. And we looked up the definition of discipline, and discipline is what? It's something that's considered as a regimen or a training to keep you from being punished. But if you read Amos 4:12, he was saying, as I was saying, he was telling them that he would intend it to do as a punishment because they would not heed his words and return to him. So they were ignoring the training. They were ignoring the everything they should have done. And God said, we've reached the punishment. He said, we have reached the punishment. We sang a song just a few seconds ago, and the song was, and prayerfully one day the folks online will get to hear it, because it's a great song, but they don't want me to sing it right now. But it's a great song. We may leave it up a little bit after when we do the invitation so they can hear it, because it's a great song, because the song says, careless soul. And then it tells you all the things that you shouldn't be doing. And that song is kind of, in my mind, I put it based on Amos 4:12, describes what I believe, what Amos told Israel, what the Word of God is telling us. Prepare. Whenever we come together as a congregation, whenever we come together as a congregation, we're always working to keep each other prepared. We are broadcasting our sermons online to send out that same message to anyone who will listen and hear and see, so they can have hope. So that's so, because you hear and you want to have eyes to really see what's going on, and you want to really hear what's happening, and all of that, if you listen, it'll give you hope. And that's what we want to do. We want to give people hope. We want them to understand that there is hope in the world. And I'm going to tell you something, and it's unscripted, but most people, whether they admit it or not, no matter how tough they act when they're around people, they know that they have little hope in everything that's going on around them. But they won't say it, but they don't have it. And we're trying to tell them something that'll give them hope. And we're trying to make them listen to what'll give them hope, because a lot of people, they say it, don't have hope. They wonder what's going on. They wonder how come you can't walk the streets at night. You can't walk your dog in certain places. You can't go to the store. I saw a commercial where a young lady had a Doberman Pinscher, and she walked up to the ATM, and the dog basically stood behind her while she was at the ATM. And you know, I forgot what they were selling, but guess what? There are a lot of people who will not go to an ATM. I worked in San Francisco for a little bit, and San Francisco thinks you're safe because they put you inside of a glass booth when you go to the ATM. Well, that's okay, because all I got to do is stand out there and wait for you to come out. Now, if I'm smart, since they can't get in without an ATM card, then you'll call the police and say, somebody's standing out here, they won't leave, but you don't know, that person may need the ATM too. But other than that, you just watch, oh, he just went in there, let me go down the street, because you got to come out, and you're going to come out with what? You're going to come out with money. They think that's safe. I was thinking about that when I was in there. It's like, I might have to fight my way out of here. So my message this morning is about just that. Prepare to meet thy God. The definition of prepared, and prepared is a verb in this case, which means doing something. It means to make something ready for use or consideration, or you could say make someone ready for use or consideration, or make someone ready or able to deal with something. That's what preparation does. That's how we get prepared. I got prepared for this class. How well I'm going to do, I don't know. I'm still in the middle of it. But I got prepared for it, and it wasn't yesterday. I was writing this for a long time. It took me 6 hours just to put it on PowerPoint. I don't like PowerPoints. But it took a long time, because I have notes and I have things I want to say. If I had to try to put everything on my paper on the PowerPoint, it would have been 900 slides long. And I would have made y'all stay through every one of them. But it takes a while. Preparation takes a while to sit down. Classes take a while to prepare for. Even when you have a book you're following, everything takes preparation. Why wouldn't it take preparation to meet your God? We need to think about that. We need to know how we are acting when we're trying to meet our God. in the letter came from Amos to Israel, which is about 9 chapters. Amos is only about halfway through when God tells Israel to prepare. If you do read Amos, you will notice that in chapter 5, and this is 5:4, it says he gives them certain instructions to help them live. And in 5:4 he says, for this is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. It says, seek me and live. In the New Testament it says what? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all those things that are going to come to you, they may not be riches in the temporal world, but they're riches beyond. So that's what you're preparing for. You're preparing for the riches beyond this world. And it, the way it's described, being in heaven, in the worst part of heaven, if there is a worst part, is about 100 times better than being here. We joked and laughed and played about it. And Brother Carey said there is actually a scripture. I didn't know the scripture when he told me about it. That says, even if I'm in a corner, even if I'm in the back, even if I happen to fall off into the closet in heaven, I'm still better off than I am here. Amen. So that's why we need to be prepared to get up there and to see all those things that we're going to keep telling you about until we're just gone one by one. And there's nobody left to say anything. But there's always going to be somebody left, even after Brother Carey, even after me and Brother Rex, and he's the youngest in the room. The people are out there, and they're saying this. So he tells them to prepare, and then in 5:6 he says, seek the Lord and live, or we will sweep like fire, or he will sweep like fire through the house of Joseph. It will devour everything with no one at Bethel to extinguish it. Folks, that's powerful, because you say you can't even put it out. Mm-hmm. 5:14, seek God, seek good, not evil, so that you may live. And the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, and I've said this several times, as you have claimed. And as you have claimed goes from way back when to last week. We got people, God is on my side. Something, God is on my side. Hey, anybody seen this today? Joe, you caught a football pass. You ran 4 yards, a little more than you thought you was going to get. If you're Tony Pollard of the Cowboys, you had a 25-yard run that was a touchdown. Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. God did that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a Cowboy fan or not. I know if he is, he upset a lot. Mm-hmm. But he, they do that. That's what they're saying. They're saying God is with me. Without God is not anywhere with them unless sometime this morning, this afternoon, or after that game, they were where you are. And I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm kind of saying the entire Cowboy organization could have met in that stadium that's put as big as 3 or 4 warehouses and sat down and had a worship service. But this is part of the preparation. And so he says, do good. I love that. Seek good. Not even do good. Seek good, not evil. Preparation, prepare, preparedness and preparation. It can all be defined as the activity or process of making something ready or becoming ready for something. We prepare ourselves for so many things. We prepare ourselves for exams if we're in school. We prepare ourselves for exams if we need to get a driver's license. Sometimes we prepare ourselves for exams if we have a job. If you're in the military, you have to have an exam to get your next rank. All of that is preparation. A job interview, we prepare ourselves. We want to know how to talk to those people when they're talking to us. A birthday party, you wouldn't think that, but people put more time in a birthday party than they do in a job interview. A lot of times they put more money into it too. Mm-hmm. To get married, you prepare to get married. To build a house, because you can't just build it anywhere. You can't just build it anyway. So God says that a foolish man builds his house upon the sand. So he's even giving you instruction there. Don't build your house on the sand. And to have children. You think about it sometimes. Sometimes it happens a little bit more than quicker than you thought. But a lot of times you say, well, you want to wait 6? You want to wait a year? You want to wait a year and a half? Or whatever, you know, for whatever reasons. But we're going to wait to have children. Preparedness. And we're talking about preparedness and preparation. Some people even prepare to win the lottery. They have a process by which they follow with strict devotion to someday win the lottery. Believe it or not, it often involves more than just purchasing a ticket when they're at their local convenience store or gas station. Y'all hear about that. They come in and they, you know, I'm getting gas, and you go to the counter to pay for your gas and say, you know, just give me whatever's up there. But there are some people, they got that thing spread out. They actually, they prepare. This particular store might be local, might be on the way to work, might be across town, but that's the store. These particular numbers, they often use the same, often the same numbers are used. How many times have you ever heard that the same numbers were used for 6, 8, 10, 12 months, 2, 3 years? And the first time they change the numbers, those numbers come up. I've heard about it. That's caused some people some issues. Certain days, no matter what side the prize, if it's 5 million or 500 million, I'm only going to do it on Wednesdays. What is it, twice? We usually do it twice, Wednesdays and Saturdays. So I'm only going to do it on Wednesdays because, you know, that's the day I'm going to hit it. And they have nothing to prove they're going to ever win. Now, these are the people who debate us about heaven. They debate us about heaven because they don't know. They say they don't think it's there. Well, guess what? We don't think you're going to win the lottery. We're not telling you to stop playing the ticket. We're just telling you, have faith. You have enough faith to think you're going to win a lottery. You didn't spend $17,000 over 5 years trying to win it. You haven't won it. But we say, just do good. Seek good. Stay away from the evil. Be kind to your fellow man. We say those things to them. Oh, no, well, there's no God. Well, maybe if it was a God, you might have won the lottery. Well, that was, he was into that. Certain days, they do certain things to get certain things. That's what we call preparation. The way they do that, that's called preparation. They really prepare. We're just telling them, prepare to meet your God. And the list goes on and on. And since we make so many preparations for different events here on earth, haven't we taken it in consideration that we need to get prepared to meet God? Are we ready to face God and spend eternity with Him? We have to keep in mind that everything that we are busy preparing for here on earth will vanish. Matthew 16:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That is a wonderful sentiment to what I'm trying to tell you, is that they can't steal your heaven away. Matthew 6:20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's the same thing, basically, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So we cannot escape this meeting with God. I'm not sure. Okay, let me tell you. If you escape your meeting with God, you're going to regret it. Because there's only one other spirit you can meet. And I don't even know if you're going to meet him, but you're certainly going to be where it was prepared for him to go. Now, I know there's a lot of movies and a lot of things where people meet Satan up front, but let me tell you, I don't even know how that's going to happen. I just know that you're going to go in a place that was only prepared for him and his angels. Now, whether you meet him or not, that's up to him. I don't know how that works. I pray that I never know how that works. But we can't escape being prepared. We can't escape meeting God. We need to be prepared to meet God. We may run away from appointments here on earth, but encountering God one day is inevitable, and it is wise to get prepared for that day. And I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to these cameras. Because I know you're getting prepared. We slip and we do other things, but we get back up and we come back in. You guys are my amen group.
Amen.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. You guys are my amen group. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the cameras. And they can write me and they can say, and I'll tell them, prepare to meet your God. One way or another, you're going to meet him. So no, I'm not. I'm not talking to you guys. You guys are my amen group. If I was here by myself, I'd still be yelling at the same cameras. Because I'm trying to get something through the people that I think, I just think and I pray so hard that some of them, somewhere, will look at it and say, you know what, he's right. And then it not even mean it's right. It's the Bible. It's the word of God that's right. And that's all I pray for. Do you really think all the trouble that we have setting this up, that if it wasn't a purpose to set it up, that I would sit there and go through that every Sunday? Stuff not working, stuff popping off in the middle. We got half of Brother Carey one direction, the other half of them in another direction. I don't know if we heard the whole thing. It's frustrating. But we're trying to preach outside of this room. So I'm not preaching to y'all. You guys are with me all the time. I know that you are putting forth that effort. So bear with me, please. And say amen every now and then. Amen. So, prepare to meet your God. Meeting God takes preparation. Meeting God... to be firm, to be stable, to be established, to be set up, to be ready, to make arrangements. You need to do all that because one day you're going to meet your God. In other words, we need to stand firm in our faith in God, be stable in our walk with God, and be ready to meet God. What we talked about this morning when we were talking about Jude, and we were saying what? We need to be steadfast in our faith. And now I'm saying us, we need to be steadfast in our faith. They need to develop the faith, and then they need to remain steadfast in it. We're not saying anything to anybody they haven't already heard. If we are, that's a rarity. And I'm glad they may listen to it. And I pray that they believe it. But most people have already heard it. In other words, and I said all that. Hold on right there. In other words, we need to stand firm in our faith and be stable in our walk with God and be ready to meet God. Why should you be prepared to meet God? Because no one knows the day he will come. We talk about that all the time. We say not even, but the Bible tells us not even the sun knows. But we got people who've been predicting it, so long, it is laughable. They've been predicting it for years and years and years. He's coming. The end of time, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And they already said, it ain't going to happen until I want it to happen. These two verses show us that no one knows the day, when the day will come. 24:36, Matthew, but about that day, in that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Amen. The Father alone knows. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed in intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered.
Devoured.
I'm sorry, that was me. I want to say it was a typo, but it was me.
Auto-correct.
That too, but it was me. Will be devoured. I wonder if all of them say that. It is better to be prepared to meet God than to be caught by surprise. For as you said, no one knows the date or the time. If you will, just turn your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew 25. And we're going to do a little reading. And I'm going to read 1 through 13. This is Matthew 25, and I'm going to read 1 through 13. And I'm coming from the NIV. The NASB. I still have some pages turning, but I'm going to go ahead. Then the kingdom of heaven would be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take extra oil with them. But the prudent ones took oil and flasks with their lamps. While the groom was delaying, they all became drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there finally was a shout, "Behold, the groom, come out and meet him." Then all of those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgins said to the prudent ones, "Give us some of your oil, because all our lamps are going out." However, the prudent ones answered, "No, there most certainly would not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy, the groom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Yet later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you, but be on the alert, because you do not know the day nor the hour." And that's all I've been saying. We don't know the day or the hour. I mean, it seemed kind of hard for the prudent virgins to tell the ones who didn't think it out. And I like that term, think it out. That no, we're not giving you our oil. They just said, he still evidently hadn't got there. They just said he's coming, and we got to make sure our oil lasts until he gets here, so he can what? So he can see us. So you had, and that doesn't, because we're telling people right now. That's every Sunday, every sermon. Get ready. Get ready. That's all we're saying. Get ready. Just like the 5 wise bridesmaids, we need to be fully prepared, watchful, stay alert and vigilant, and be ready for the return of Christ. And that's all we're saying. Judgment Day. We must prepare ourselves to meet God, because there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. We must prepare ourselves, because I said there will be a judgment. It was sang beforehand. I'm trying to tell the folks, we sing a song. Usually we address it as an invitation song. And I'm going to go over the song, because I love the song, because if it's some way that we can reach you, that if it was through singing a song, maybe it'll reach you. Maybe I'm being too harsh, or maybe I'm being unclear, but maybe through us, because I hear enough songs beat bopping along the freeway, and people this saw can sing songs they probably ain't got no business singing. So maybe if we sing a song. And we do sing a song. And the song says, "Careless soul, why do you linger? In other words, why do you wait? There are other times I see you jump at opportunities, yet now you stay put. So many times we say things are happening in the world and people are taking that opportunity to jump in the middle of it, don't halfway know what's going on. They're up and down the streets yanning, chanting and yelling and carrying signs. But why not now? Why are you lingering when it's coming, preparing to meet your God? That's all I'm asking. Wandering from the fold of God. Hear you not the invitation? As I said before, a calling or a bidding, if you may, sometimes we might say something to help you, just help you along the way. And see, when you say, help us go where? Well, then it says, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by? There were three of us standing last week. There was three of us standing there. And one of the things that was going through my mind was, you know, we're standing there and every one of us, it was a couple of days before my birthday, but 60 and over. And that's what I was thinking about. It's like everybody standing here is 60 and over. And it isn't that how it is, though. One minute you're 21. The next you're remembering what it used to be like to be 21. And then it says, "What when you were 21, what were you doing? And your years and your life is spent in folly." So this is what, you know, I was thinking about is all those years and where they went, where they go, and what did I even do? That's how to just think about that. All of those years, from 21 to 60, what did you do? That's a lot of time to prepare to meet God. Then it says again, oh, prepare to meet your God. Have you not heard the earnest pleadings every Sunday, every sermon, and every sermon ends with, there's going to be an invitation. If you feel like you need to, you can get up. You can send us an email. We do have an email. You can send us an email. You can actually type it on the bottom of the sermon itself. We send them out in both written and video form. And you can just type it out. Where can I go? And we'll find the Church of Christ and we'll send you to it. So it's every Sunday, though, and every sermon. Or your friends that wish you well. You know, you have friends and they're doing the right thing. You have loved ones and they're doing the right thing. And people who care about you are doing the right thing. And all of them are doing the same thing that we're doing. They're saying, prepare to meet your God. And perhaps before tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's not guaranteed. We say it all the time. Tomorrow's not promised. Anytime, any day, what? You'll be called to meet your God. It's a scary thought. It's a scary thought. But not one of us is guaranteed to get from here home. But we pray to God we will make it home. We pray to God that we're prepared to meet God. That's all we're trying to tell people. Prepare to meet God. Here we go. If you spurn the invitation, that's refuse, decline, reject, turn down, and it's just invitation after invitation after invitation, till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition unprepared to meet your God. Now, you know what the sad position is? Your sad position is you don't get to meet God. If you want to go to some of the characters, I hope I said that right, to some of the cartoons that are drawn, very seldom is anybody talking to God at the pearly gates. They're usually talking to Peter. See, they don't get to talk to God. They talk to Peter. You got to get through the pearly gates to talk to God. And those are just drawings. So somebody came up with it in their mind. You don't even get to meet God till you talk to Peter. And then you get to explain to Peter all the stuff you thought you did. And like I said, and you're certainly talking to Peter, and all of a sudden the gates start to close behind him, and you know you ain't going no further. You might as well just turn around and leave him alone. But that's just cartoons, but I love those because you never get to talk to God. But guess what you can do now? You can talk to God. You can talk to him every day, all day long, if you got the time. I think they only say, don't be repetitious in your prayers. But as we found out this morning, sometimes we have more people to pray for than we can remember. When I'm standing here and I got my head down, I wish I got a list so I can get everybody. But I forget because there's so many people. Now double that number in this room. Triple that number in this room. And I hope we do. And triple that. Now you got more people to pray for. Go outside that door. You got a ton of people to pray for out there. Prepare to meet their God. The sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul. Notice it says careless soul. It doesn't mention names. It doesn't mention where you're from. It doesn't mention how much money you have or you don't have. It doesn't mention the color of your skin. It doesn't mention your age. And you notice what I put? Old folks need to come to Christ too. There's no freebie. AARP can't get you into this one. They need to come to Christ too. It says careless soul. I think Ecclesiastes says your body came from the earth, but when you die it will go back to the earth, but your spirit came from God, and when you die it returns to him. Doesn't say he keeps it. It says it returns to him. Because we need to have prepared to meet our God. And then it goes into, oh, heed the warning. Again, Sunday after Sunday, sermon after sermon. For your life will soon be gone. We always add, before it's everlasting, too late. Oh, how sad it is to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. That's a wonderful song, and the song says so much. And you know, anybody singing it besides me, somebody ought to get it. Because I sing it, people probably turn away, walk away, run away. But someone once said, now I don't remember who, says a wise man fears and even runs away from evil. He trembles at the thought of God's judgment. When they either afflict it or threaten, he shuns sin, which is the overall cause of his pending calamities. But the fool rages. He frets against God. He is enraged against his messengers who declare the threatening. In other words, they get mad at the men who are standing there saying, you need to prepare to meet your God. And they get mad at us because they want to know, what do we know? We know you need to be prepared to meet your God. There's nothing hidden here. Somewhere, it's what we don't use trickery because God is watching us too. He gave us enough. We don't need to try to trick anybody into this. So there's nothing undercover here. You need to prepare to meet your God. He lingers. He rejects. He ignores till God's judgment overtake him. But a fool stormed at those who would stop him in his course and proceeds boldly and securely to his own ruin. We've seen it. I've seen it. I have family members. I've seen it. We've all seen it once or twice somewhere. If not, we've seen it on the news. And there's a song, and there's a song, and this entire song, the mother's trying to get the attention of the son. And she can't get the attention of the son because he's out in the streets. And then it happens. And he's gone. And at the end of the song, the mother is walking along, and the son is trying to get the attention of the mother, but he's not there any longer. She can't see him or hear him. Do y'all know how true that is? Now, I don't know about the part about the son running along behind there, but normally, you know, if that is the case, remember, I'm going to go there again. Lazarus and the rich man. When you reach that destination, you remember. You don't get to go back up and do what he did, but it was a good metaphor, too. Those, whoever was listening to that song, this is what happens. If you don't pay attention to her now, she can't pay attention to you after you're gone. I love that. It's sad. It's just sad even when they sing it, it's sad. And they did a great job. To his own ruin. Proverbs 14 and 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. That's why the song says, O careless soul, O heed thy warning, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And just turn away from evil. That's all we're saying. Just turn away from evil. I said it all the time. If Brother Rex is nice to Sister Sheila, Sister Sheila is nice to Brother Carey, Brother Carey is nice to Sister Maureen, and it goes on and on and on. None of us in this room have a problem.
Amen.
Not a one of us. Turn away from evil. That's all we're asking. Turn away from evil. Let's see how it works. Because guess what? It ain't like it's been a whole lot of periods in time when there hasn't been evil. Let's turn away. I think in the 70s they tried it. They talked about love and peace and all these different things. But they also had drugs. So you know, if they could have done that without the drugs, it would have been a great Woodstock. But they had the right mind. They just didn't have the right mindset. See, we're trying to change your mindset. And you know, we're trying to change your mindset. But somehow I do not think of the people that I'm talking to on the camera that you would listen to this message, who would listen to this message. I don't think they're very careless. I just don't think that. Hello. I found three definitions of careless. Not giving sufficient attention or thought to harm or error, or avoiding harm or error. Of the action or its result, showing or caused by a lack of attention, and not concerned or worried about. So I know there are things that they care about. They protest and they picket and they picket to protect. So in other words, they're protesting and they're picketing and they're telling you they're protesting and they're picketing, and they usually have someone they're trying to help. Now, that doesn't say they're always on the right side of the fence, but they have someone they're trying to help. You assist and volunteer to those of need. They have any number of causes that they devote every ounce of their energy. Then just why not make their soul salvation just one of the causes? That's all we're asking them to do. We know it. We see it. We see them on the news. They're out there for hours and hours, sometimes days. And they're saying what? Equality. Think about the homeless. Think about the poor. Think about those who have mental disabilities. They're trying to say all of these different things. Just turn it around a little bit. You don't have to. All right, listen to this. Some of you may know it. The book of Luke, chapter 18, starting at verse 20. Some describe this as the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler is questioning Jesus about eternal life. And now Jesus is answering. And Jesus says in Luke 18, 20, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father. And the rich young ruler said, all these things I have kept since when? My youth. Now, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing that you still lack, sell that all you possess and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Amen. Come follow me. But when he had heard this, these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely wealthy. So I see the news. Like I said, I see the protest. I see the long hours standing up for what you consider to be just or unjust. That's a cause you can, as they are now, fighting for, help the poor, equality for all. Well, I'm not saying you can't want those things. I'm saying add God to the mix. Jesus was saying, Jesus said that what? Give away all your money, give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Well, that's even the same thing. See, aren't you disappointed in the rich who seem to have forgotten the poor? Aren't you disappointed in the government who seems to have forgotten the homeless, seems to have forgotten those who have mental battles, seems to have forgotten the aged, older people? So they seem to have all the same principles that the Bible has. They just won't bring God into it. Look at verse 22 again. Now Jesus heard this and he said, one thing you lack, sell all you possess and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come follow me. That was an invitation from Christ himself. Come follow me. That's the same invitation that we're saying, come follow Christ. You're not following me. Come follow Christ. Because if I ever stop following Christ, I won't be up here. Because somebody will say, sit down. You got to follow Christ. You don't follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the most I can say. And then we go to 24, and Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? He says hard. He didn't say it was impossible, but it is hard. For it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Those who heard him said, and so who can be saved? And then he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. That's it right there. It's all possible with God. Yeah. Why did everything you want to, if you're on the right track, everything you want to change, if you're going to change it, God got to be in the mix. Because you can change something that's bad and the wrong person is representing that, and it's just going to get worse. And most of them are saying that, and I know that I'm not interested in the things of God. I don't think he even exists. So, and there's the challenge. Because guess what? He'll change you. He'll come into your life and change you. And how does he do it? I don't know, but I know it has something to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, it lingers in you and it pushes you, and you think about it and you think about it, and you already got some of that information, like it says in Hebrews 23, 24, 25. You already know. And it just sits there and it just stays on your mind. And so that's the challenge, is to get some and then think you can walk away. And I thought the same thing, and then look at me now, and I know some people will look at me now and go, wow, and some people wouldn't even believe it if they actually saw me in the frame saying the words. And that's the, you know, that's the folks back, some of the folks back in Virginia. I may not even be someone that they may think they may like, but that doesn't bother me. And if they're watching this and it's on Facebook or somebody downloads it and sends it to them, there's a good chance we may never even meet. But here I am trying to get them to think of their soul salvation. Somebody somewhere tried to get you all to think of your soul salvation. Doesn't mean you knew them. There are churches, there are congregations that are so large that the chances of you actually getting to shake the minister's hand is almost impossible. Because it's just so many people all trying to do the same thing. Okay, we're small. You can come up and shake my hand anytime you want to. But you know what I'm saying. But they're telling you, watch out for your soul. Take care of your soul. I'm winding it down. Don't hang up on me yet. I'm winding it down. Remember, careless in this case does not mean they don't care. It does not mean they're not paying attention. But we're telling them, pay attention to the needs of their soul. Let it happily go back to God who gave it. Now, I don't know how that really works. And I thought about it when I put it in there, and I said happily because you know where you're going. And you know it ain't going back. Or you know how the condition it's going to be in when it gets back. You can't be very happy. Or you're misled if you're happy that you've done wrong your entire life and you could die and your soul could go back to God. You're widely influenced by people who do not like you. I don't care how much they say they do. They can't like you if they're not telling you to change your life. There is not a single person in my life that didn't tell me to change my life, no matter how bad they were or thought they were. Why you act like that? I made it out. I listened enough to make it out. But that don't mean they didn't tell me. That don't mean they didn't pull me. What are you doing? Stop acting that way. But if somebody's telling you, go ahead and act that way, that's not somebody who likes you. That's not somebody who cares about you. That's somebody you need to get away from. All right, I'm gonna wind it down because Brother Rex is breaking out the mints. I'm starting to think something going wrong up here.
No.
Remember this one? This is one of the most well-known requests for prayer I've ever seen in the Bible. It's so well-known that people don't even know where it comes from, but they quote it as if they do. I know because I was one of those people. Because it's that well-known. The first thing somebody will do when they're talking to you is they'll say, hey, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and you'll say, if my people who are what? Who are called by my name? But what? Humble themselves and pray? And you may not be able to quote it word for word, but you know it. You may not be able to quote it word for word, but you know it. And I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You need to put some prayer in your protest. Again, I'm saying it. You need to put some prayer in your protest. Bring God in the mix. Let him change the things that need to be changed, and they'll be changed for the good. And I've said it a number of times, I can't make you come to Christ, and I can't make you stay in Christ. But if you have that desire, and I have 1 Corinthians 15, I have 1 through 9, but we all know that Paul does what? Paul gives a rundown of the gospel. Right here in verse 3, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he told them, it's the gospel that I preach, in which you're saved. He said, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, he says what? Unless you believed in vain. Then he says, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to what? Not according to Paul, but according to the scriptures. And then he said he appeared to Cephas, and he appeared to a bunch of others, and then he said he appeared to me as if I was one born too late. And then he said, for what? He said, for I'm the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, all of us at some point, I don't know, some of y'all might have been in the body your entire life, but I ain't always been a Christian. And there are some times we stood outside church and we said some things that we shouldn't have said after walking out of the same church. So, but see what I'm saying? Paul was what? He came in contact and he was filled with the Spirit. And he did what? It changed him. Paul gives the basis of the gospel, and you need to hear that gospel. You need to believe in what you heard. You need to believe what you heard. You need to repent of your sins. You have to have a change of mind to follow Christ. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, you need to say it. We'll hear it. God will hear it. Jesus says you have to confess them out loud. We're going to ask you to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll teach and arrange to baptize you, because if you look around, ain't no water in this room. And I think they emptied the pool in the other room. But we'll make sure you get baptized, give you some good stern teaching, show you some things you need to be shown. And then we'll baptize you. You'll be clothed in Christ, by which your sins will be washed away. And we hope you don't sin again, but you know you will. I just pray at times I can get out of the room without sinning again, because I get kind of silly after I talk for a long time. But we're going to teach you and get you to that point where your sins are washed away. You'll be a new creature in Christ according to the Bible. And if you're watching, there's probably a Church of Christ in your town. Please visit. Send us a comment. You know, you comment when the video goes out. Send us a comment about coming to Christ. And that's my message. And I've given you the need to believe and the need to hear. And I've already given you that. And if you're listening, I've given you that. There's no one in the audience here, no one in the congregation. Everyone here is a member of the congregation. But I pray that it reach those who would have ears to hear. So right now we're going to stand and sing that invitation song.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Careless soul, oh, need the